Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 5th of October, recording at 9:05 p.m., and it's still British summertime. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of the week. Global stock markets, pretty strong. I can't think of any exceptions in here. During the week, long-dated government bonds, they had been steady, creeping higher, but got walloped in here today on the stronger-than-forecast U.S. employment figures. The U.S. dollar had enjoyed a technical rally during the first few days of this week, but that was looking distinctly tired today. Precious metals roiled here in a reaction phase, but we only saw one day on the downside by, would you believe it, palladium, which has subsequently moved higher. And we see some large tails on some of the other precious metals. And in other words, they've steadied, have not maintained the reaction lows that they've seen this week. And the crude oil price has really hovered around the $80 level, currently above that at $81.10 right now. The natural gas price had been fairly firm, but is encountering some profit-taking today. Industrial metals, generally firm, led by lead, which is at an all-time high. They were all the industrial metals were up today, incidentally, but most of them were soft yesterday. And the grain and bean complex, after a spectacular rally led by wheat, has boiled over here for at least the short term. In other words, we're seeing a reaction. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights. Coffee, generally strong. Okay, so what can we say about all this? Well, there are some pretty vocal bears about, but the new highs, the number of new highs that we have seen in stock markets are an elegant riposte to those extreme forecasts. And quite a few people have been telling us that we were in a bear market and the credit crisis was going to lead to not only a U.S. recession, but a European recession and possibly even a global recession. Well, anything's possible, but I doubt it. And I'll maintain my view that while the risks are on the downside for the U.S. economy, that it should be able to squeeze through without a recession. For primarily two reasons. One, that the Fed has moved aggressively and sensibly to prevent a temporary credit crisis from turning into a panic. And the other factor is the strength of the Asian-led global economic recovery, which remains synchronized in a period of GDP growth expansion. But we are definitely seeing some somewhat slower growth here for the U.S., also for the U.K., continental Europe, and that may pair very slightly growth in some of the other economies, but probably not all that much is my best guess at this time. Getting back to stock markets, crucially, confidence has been restored. And having had that panicky environment only back in as short a while ago as in mid-August, I don't think we're likely to see that return anytime soon, provided, and this is a big proviso, as I've said before, provided that the global bank shares continue to rally. Now, the only weak spots, and they were important ones, in the global bank shares were the U.S., essentially, U.K., continental Europe, and Japan. But they have rebounded off those reaction lows, and that's extremely important. And you see some higher reaction lows now on a lot of those charts. Japanese banks, which I believe had the biggest fall of all, had that weekly key reversal that Owen and I pointed out last week, and they have seen good follow-through in here this week. I think rising at least 4 out of the 5 last days. I think they've risen 8 out of the last 9 days. And that's good evidence that we've seen a low. This is a floor for that Japanese banks index. So, provided those financials continue to rally, that's good news. Now, people are saying, well, there's so much toxic waste out there, disclosures, big write-downs. And yes, those are being announced every single day. Billions are being written off. But arguably, that's been discounted by the prior falls. And the people who are buying will include a fair number of bears who are covering shorts. And some people are going in because they're saying this is overdone. And a number of these shares have quite attractive yields. And we're willing to take the risk that the worst of this situation is behind us. And that's a reasonable argument. After all, the exercise is to buy low, sell high. I don't feel any urge to go in and buy banks myself, although if you put a pistol at my head, I would certainly be a buyer rather than a seller. But I feel no urge to go in and do that because what would I sell? I like what I hold. And I'm gratified for the performance of my top 10 portfolio. The rest of us not doing that badly either. It's performed better than I would have dared to hope for, which suggests to me that it's a little bit overextended and we may see some reactions and consolidations. But I'm certainly not tempted to sell anything because I think that one of the realizations following the credit crisis is that perceptions regarding risk really need to change and or really are changing in here. It really is that standoff or trade-off, I should say, between what I've described previously as the wobbly West versus the enterprising East. Well, I'm very happy to live in the wobbly West, but I invest in the enterprising East, and I invest in the resources which are very much intertwined, resources markets that are very much intertwined with that global infrastructure demand led by Asia. Those have been my biggest themes really since the second quarter of 2003. And I don't scrap a theme because I get tired of it or because it's gone on for too many years. It's still performing, not all the time. We get periodic medium-term corrections. And we certainly saw quite a sharp correction in the July August period, but again, at least 8 out of 10 of it. Well, no, I know it's 7 out of 10 of those portfolio holdings are at new all-time highs, and the others are not doing at all badly either. So I'm gratified by that, and I mention that not as a boast, but just because I think it validates the thinking, and I know that a lot of you have invested at least part of your portfolios in a similar fashion. Those who are looking at the portfolio and saying, "I want in," I wouldn't buy aggressively at these levels. One could have a partial exposure, but I would hold some capital back because, as Owen and I have emphasized over and over again, that with these markets, some of these high-performing markets, inevitably they get reactions, and the best time to pick them up is when after they have experienced a correction and are beginning to steady once again. Okay, the long-dated. Well, now I wanted to stay with the equities for a moment. What's the risk of a bear market? Well, or another correction similar to what we just saw? Quite low, in my opinion. Again, provided the bank shares don't go back down and take out their reaction lows. And it's so easy to monitor those indices and all other indices now because of the higher reaction lows that we're actually seeing. And that includes things like the S&P and the Dow, which, not to mention a number of other indices around the world, which have hit new highs in here this week. You can see the last in the series of reaction lows. You can't get even a moderate pullback without, let alone a bear market, without first interrupting or breaking the progression of higher reaction lows that we've seen since the middle of August. And that hasn't happened. Excuse me. Okay. So having just seen a panic in stock markets and having seen a dramatic response led by the Fed, and with US interest rates quite likely to go lower in my view, and with European, UK and European interest rates quite likely to go lower, if not this year, then at some point in the first half of next year, and with rate hikes on hold more likely than not elsewhere, and quite possibly likely to come down, I think this is a benign environment for equities and will remain so probably at least well into the first quarter of next year. And that'll do, wouldn't it? Or won't it? So then we can and reassess where we reassess every day in here. But that's my script based on what I see. And the fact that there are a lot of very vocal bears around is probably quite a good thing. Tells you that there is a combination of bears who may well be grimly hanging on to some of those short positions, or they aren't long. So that effectively represents some liquidity that's possibly capable of coming into the market. I also think stock markets are getting a bit of a tailwind from long-dated government bonds, which had a good rally during the July-August sell-off, but that has stalled in here and was hit with some pretty big downward dynamics in here today. A weakening of global long-dated government bond prices, rise in yields, is not going to cause a problem in my view, until we see yields going above their highs that we had seen earlier in the year. I don't think that's likely to happen in the short term because I think the bond markets will remain more preoccupied with the slowdown that we're seeing, particularly in the West, economic slowdown that is, than with the inflationary pressures. And the inflationary pressures, of course, and I've long maintained that we're in a long-term new inflationary cycle following the disinflationary cycle that we had experienced really right into 2002 in most instances, 2003 even. My point on the inflation is that it's resources led and it is not really experienced in terms of wages. It is in some areas, but it's certainly not a major problem globally. Globalization is helping to keep wages competitive, and we are not seeing that much inflation in manufactured goods. So that's the Those are some of the offsetting factors. The big risks here on the inflation front are the oil price, which is, of course, in a long-term bull market. We can all adjust to it, provided it's a gradual rise. And then there's food price inflation. And of course, the dollar's weakness overall has lifted these prices, which are mainly quoted in US dollar terms, these resources prices, They have certainly gone up in other currencies as well, but not as dramatically as they have in dollars, my point. So if you hold a strong currency, the price of oil is nowhere near as high as it looks in US dollars. Okay, and the dollar is very much the weakest currency aside from the Zimbabwean hyperinflation. And on a long-term basis, I do expect interest rates to move higher. I expect long-term interest rates to move higher at some stage next year as growth picks up again. And I expect central banks to eventually respond to that with higher short-term interest rates. And that will create quite a strong headwind for global equity markets. But that's not a problem for today or a problem for this quarter, unless I've underestimated the vulnerability of the long-dated government bond markets. That is a possibility in the sense that if I'm right on the secular bear hypothesis, and I would argue that the fundamental and technical evidence supports that view, that surprises are likely to be in the form of upward moves in terms of yields. Among currencies, among the viable currencies, the two weak ones remain the US dollar and the Japanese yen. And the dollar has been getting a bit of short covering in here recently, but I don't think it's likely to see much more than that overall. There is a risk that we do see the dollar accelerate downwards at some point, and that would cause another problem for central banks, in that I've long maintained that we would probably need to see multilateral intervention at some point to support the US dollar. That's a rare occurrence, but we have seen it on at least half a dozen occasions since the breakup of Bretton Woods back in 1971. Sometimes it's been intervention to prevent the dollar from strengthening too much, but more often than not, it's been intervention to actually support the US dollar. But I don't see the Fed raising interest rates anytime soon. I think the US needs, and is probably administration is delighted with a somewhat softer US dollar here, but at some point this may become more of a problem for other countries, and it may become when it would also become more of a problem for the US if it began to look like a crisis. So that's a possible risk that we do have to be concerned about. Crisis mentality surrounding the dollar would certainly weaken stock markets. Now, again, that's not a problem for the moment. And there are always problems or situations out there that we need to be concerned about. Some of them will develop or deteriorate, and others will not. And fortunately, we can monitor them every single day. Both of us, you and me, Owen and myself, and you people on your own behalf. Now, in terms of the metal prices, my hunch is that we're just seeing a consolidation here for the precious metals, and that may already be over as far as the palladium market is concerned, but that's seldom been the leader. So we need to see a little bit of confirmation, but the technical action suggests that to me. And I think that I still regard these precious metals as being quite cheap here overall relative to other assets. So I do expect them to appreciate further. And we have seen a pretty good performance in the last couple of months from gold against pretty much all other against all fiat currencies. So a little bit of consolidation in here, and I look for the bull run to resume And I wouldn't be surprised, as I've said before, if it's quite a significant move on the upside and for that sector. Industrial metals are definitely firming as recession fears, global recession fears at any rate, have faded. Undoubtedly, short covering has played a role in the strength, but some of these, particularly where backwardations are showing, and where you're getting new all-time highs, such as lead, that just suggests to me that demand, global demand, is picking up. They don't all have the same patterns, of course. We've got nickel in a support-building phase now, following what was quite a sharp medium-term correction after a very overextended advance on the upside. But again, this remains a secular bull market. Ditto oil, which is currently consolidating previous previous gains within its overall ranging upward trend. Food prices, well, I see some pretty scary evidence, and from some quite good sources, including one notable subscriber who sends in emails from time to time, which have been awfully accurate. The technical action for wheat, which I uncovered earlier in the week, looks to me like it's blown out in the short term. That doesn't mean it's over, but we did have those accelerated type 1 endings and some downward dynamics, and that definitely indicates at least a reaction, or at least a peak. Beg your pardon. That definitely indicates, technically, I believe, a peak of at least near-term significance. And as Owen has pointed out, those markets will need to close in new high ground to reaffirm the overall bull trends. It might well happen, but I'm not expecting it next week. We're still in correction reaction phase. And I think that's pretty much it. Coffee. Coffee does look awfully bullish on the charts. So does cotton. So I think we will see plenty more resources inflation, but probably not the wage inflation that would really be a major problem, and not the manufacturing price inflation. Meanwhile, an exciting week, less stressful than some of the other ones, albeit a bit stressful in the precious precious metal sector, or a bit disappointing in the precious metal sector to have such sharp downward dynamics and shaking out a number of positions. I've moved back into the silver market. I'm in here today. Still hold a bit of palladium, still hold half of my platinum position, still hold a wee bit of gold. That's, I'm talking futures there. Of course, my long-term portfolio is completely unchanged. Okay, folks, have an absolutely splendid weekend. There's some interesting rugby that's going to be on. The London Philharmonic Orchestra's 75th anniversary concert and big bash party, in which over 2,000 people will be getting a glass of champagne at the Royal Festival Hall. I may see some of you there. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.